This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Brisbane and Australian-based Local Legends in Running podcast. My name is Ollie Jones and I'm the host of the show and the founder of the Local Legends in Running brand, including online running coaching services. This podcast primarily involves a one-on-one conversation format with Australian and global elite and amateur runners, coaches, exercise scientists, and event directors, where you hear insights, opinions, and stories you'd otherwise struggle to find scrolling online. Today on Season 4, Episode 92, I invite back Tim Vincent for the third time to the podcast to chat primarily about his experience at the 2025 World Champs in Tokyo. It seems to be a bit of a theme with Tim that I invite him on the podcast after significant runs like this. I guess a sign too of his generosity to give up some time to talk all things running. He was on the first time on this podcast after his debut in the marathon at the Gold Coast a number of years ago, and last year after his 209 marathon at PB in Frankfurt, if you do want to rewind and have a listen to those. You'll notice he's an articulate man, a man of detail, and always a fascinating listen with honest reflections on his own and others running. Around the World Champs, we talk about his future running and his own podcast. He hosts the Journeyman podcast. As always, I hope you enjoy the listen, whether you're out for a run, commuting to work, or simply doing some chores around the house.
Because you don't really have any pressure on it, but then at the same time, like where I was running, it was pretty crap. So I was not enjoying my runs, but I was just happy that I only had to do one.
Welcome, Tim Vincent, back to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Thanks, Ollie. Lovely to be here.
Very excited, mate, for this one. We're fresh for about 2 weeks just over from the World Athletics Championships, and you were there in the marathon representing Australia. How's the last few weeks been since?
It's all been a bit of a whirlwind. I'd say, so I got back on Sunday, we're recording on Tuesday, so I've really kind of had 2 days now to settle in back at home, and it wasn't until I got back home that I realized I probably hadn't processed much. So it's been really cool to reflect and I guess absorb the whole last month from the pre-departure camp, and I'd probably say only the last 2 days is where I've started to feel a little bit proud and just like tie a bow in the whole experience and go, cool, move on to something else now.
Yeah, I noticed you were back into training, or at least jogging, 2 days after the marathon. It was in the heat too, it was hot. Is that a normal thing for you to get back into the jogging at least a few days after, and then this morning a 6x1K pretty quickly too?
To be honest, like that, I had no structure until this week. So those first 2 weeks, like I just took days off until I physically wouldn't have been able to run. Like it just would have actually been stupid, to try and run those first 2 days. To be honest, I would have had most of a week off. I was staying with Liam and his partner and they were going out for a run, and I don't know, I shouldn't feel like this, but I was like, oh, I don't want to feel lazy. I'll just go join them, and you can check out my lap times. Like, to be honest, it's a few runs. Like, I just take the phone, take some photos, and yeah, they're pretty cruisy and just not structured, so they felt like a bit of a break anyway.
Yeah, and back on the Kedron Brook a few weeks back after coming back from
Yeah,
overseas. How'd that feel
so
to be back
funny.
home?
Oh, loved it. The older I get, the more I miss home, I've noticed. And this trip especially, I don't know if it's just the change of living or food or just like I like Japan for a holiday, but I was very ready to come home. I think there's a lot of emotional stress around that race or the world champs. So just having that lifted off, I just pictured myself coming back to the Kedron Brook and going for a Monday morning run, and that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, well, here now to talk about the World Champs. And wasn't it an amazing event in general as well? So we'll touch on that, but of course, get into your marathon because very different over there in the heat this time around, and then your future running and potentially some podcast stuff. The Journeyman podcast is still up and running. So looking forward to talking about that. But mate, wasn't it an amazing event in general, particularly for Australian running, just being a part of as a spectator, even of the event? Like, what did you make of some of the performances? Kai Robinson, for example, fourth in that 5,000, Jess third in the 1,500, in the 800 final too, which is the first, or if not very rare anyway, to be in there with an Australian record before she got there. And then I noticed Lauren Ryan was just off Benita's all-time best result in the 10,000. She was ninth, Benita eighth, many, many years ago. What do you make of Australia first?
I thought we had a pretty good champs, or there was no real in between as well. Like, it was really hard for a lot of our team, but then we also had a lot of standout performances. So I think as a country we should be very proud. And there it was really cool to have athletes for myself, I'd say, like Jess and Kai, are two that I look up to, and the way they were able to execute in those conditions and just go, wow, like that's absolutely top of the top. And pretty cool to have them as Australians.
Yeah, so post your run, mate. So you competed on the Monday, didn't you? Was that the second or third day of the champs? Like, did
I
you
think
have much
third
time
day.
to third day? Yeah, did you have much time to absorb and engage in the other events yourself?
No, the policy that we had was within 2 days we were entering the hotel, so 2 days prior, and then 2 days afterwards we were like had to leave the hotel. It was one big hotel for every athlete from every country. So it was like you come in, you come out type situation. In saying that, I did stay in Tokyo. I didn't actually go to the athletics once, so I had free tickets,
Yeah.
or your accreditation gets you into every session, and I never went to one.
Yeah, right. So tell me, what have you actually watched in replay, looking back at any of
I
these distance events?
watched Kai Robinson's 5,000. Watched Jess's 800. I think I was out having dinner during the 15. Apart from that, didn't watch the 10,000s. I was in bed. Yeah, not much, Ollie, to be honest. Like, I catch up on results and we all talk around meals about these
Yeah,
events. Women's marathon, of course, that was probably the one that I actually spent the most time watching. But yeah, I honestly thought I'd watch a bit more athletics than what I did.
well, let's get to Kai's race at least for the 5,000. What do you make of this one? Because coming fourth, you know, that's an epic result. Second to Craig Mottram, of course, you know, the big dog of many years ago. But he had the fastest Australian 5K ever in a champs to run that time at a 12:58 high, wasn't it?
Thing around there could have been 59, but it may
59.
have also been 58.
Yes, what do you make of this event?
I after he ran that heat, I was like, this guy can medal. Like, honestly, I said to I had dinner with Michael Capenay, one of the LSKD guys, great mate of mine as well, that night before Kai's race, and we were talking about it and how impressed we were by his heat. Obviously, impressed in world indoors. You kind of put all of that together, and the way he was running and the confidence that he kind of showed in that heat, and they still ran quick and he had gears to go. So obviously a lot of that, like, championship racing, it comes down to placement and stuff like that, on that last lap. And the crazy thing for me was, I know Cole Hocker was behind him with a lap to go, but Kai still went through probably eight guys in that last lap
Yeah.
and give it another 50 meters I can know there's not another 50 in the race, but I think Kai had at least another 50 in him.
Yeah, so where do you see him heading now with the 5K? He's only, what, 3 or 4 seconds away from Craig Mottram's all-time 5K
Yeah, that's
Australian record. It's obviously it's still a far way. That doesn't sound like much, but it is. What's he got in the
insane
tank?
that, like, with all respect to that record, it is insane and not been touched for a long time. But after that run, surely that's the next thing on Kai's mind. And I think even the level of the athletes that he took down and dismantled at World
100%.
Champs, you've got 12:45 guys in there. I know it's not quite the same. To be honest, they're still running 12:59 in that. So I actually would argue it's not too dissimilar. But that's the next thing. I think that's really, really exciting, is like, what can Kai do in like some of those time trial races?
Agreed. And what about the 1500? Like, how brutal was that? On the other end, Cam Myers, Adam Spencer, and Jude Thomas, none got through. So
Yeah.
it's that event is just ridiculous right now, and it's a bit more sort of cutthroat and unpredictable compared to events like the marathon, isn't it?
The other thing with the men's 15, we were all talking about this as well, not just the men's, also the women's with the championships. They can all, it's very different to the qualifying system and the diamond leagues and how they get in with points and champs and whatever. As soon as they get to the champs, it's the guys that are kind of getting through and the women that are getting through. It's all about that last 100, last 200. And some people are closing that in 11 and a half seconds. And sure, they might be a 3:35 runner, but you can, that's starting to be a bit more prevalent in these championship races, is you almost favor the people that can close that quick.
Yeah, exactly. It's a completely different event, isn't it? When it goes out slowly, it's that last 300, 400 meters. It just changes it
Yeah,
entirely, doesn't
people
it?
are at that speed. It's like people, you can almost rule them out at the bell. Like, they're moving that quick. There's actually just no space to get round on an outdoor track, which is, I couldn't fathom that. I've never experienced that, but yeah, it's nuts to watch.
Yeah, well, let's get to the marathon because this event notoriously starts on the track and finishes on the track too, which it did here. And on the top end, Simbu, Tanzania, like the finish here, obviously you're running in the event, Tim, but if we can touch on that first. And if you've seen the replay of this, ridiculous. Like it looked like they tied. Petros of Germany was second. It looked like he actually had won it. The ribbon was around his body. And it was actually Simbu to the thousandth of a second to actually result in first place.
Yeah, that's absolutely nuts for a marathon. And the other thing that blows my mind about that is your whole body is screaming at you in that day for surely at least 10 of those kilometers, and for many of us, more than that. And then you can even take that down even finer to, like, imagine that last lap, last 300, last 200, like, neither of them have given anything in. It's actually hard to fathom that it's come down to that, like, even 10 to go, 10 meters. Like, yeah, that's absolutely insane.
Now, Tim, we're going to have listeners who tune into this not truly understanding the effect of weather on the marathon. Now, you've run a 220-ish. Your PB is 209.40. These guys won it in 209.48, but it's almost non-comparable to an event where we've got 10-degree temperatures. What was the temperature like and humidity out there for you on the day?
I don't know numbers because I deliberately tried not to look. We were actually told not to look even from Cairns. Like, that was our whole approach. It didn't feel hot for 25K because we had a lot of pre-cooling, and thanks to AA and Avish, the ex-phys, a lot of practice and prep around cooling. So that was, it worked as long as it could till about 25K. I also think we were probably, like, we were exerting ourselves hard, but definitely on the cautious side. And then at 25K, it got very hot very quick. So I think that's probably the point in which my body maybe started feeling the effects of dehydration. And then, how do I describe heat? You essentially just, like, if you're putting so much in, you get less and less back. And then it was like someone clicked their fingers at 35, and I went from being able to feel like I could pick up the pace to relinquishing and not even holding what I was doing. So that was my one disappointment. But it probably only cost me, I think, around a minute, minute and a half. But yeah, it was hot, very hot, like sponges every 2K hot.
Wow. Yeah. So if you take away the experience in Cairns, how does that affect your race? Like that, obviously, up there is heat training in itself. And had you had any other heat training, like sauna, heat room kind of stuff?
Yeah, we were trying to get into a heat chamber. I didn't have access at the QAS, and the Suns were great and offered theirs to assist. It unfortunately malfunctioned, so I made do with a steam room after running on a treadmill. Like within 30 seconds, I quickly ran into the steam room and was doing a protocol in there, alternating between sauna and steam room 3 days a week. And then I also did a trip to Cairns for 2 weeks back in start of July. So we tried to get about 4 weeks total before Tokyo.
Yeah, and what temperatures were you experiencing in Cairns itself?
Great question. I reckon 30 to 32,
Yeah,
maybe
really
even
over
less.
30
But it was,
already.
yeah, it was just the humidity, that was the big,
Yep.
noticing difference.
Yeah. Now, mate, before we get into your event, had you spoken to Andy? He had that recent stress reaction in his femur. Now, he's, as you probably know, he's been injury free almost for years, like, almost 8 years. And this one's really putting me out for the moment, to the point that he had to withdraw from the event. Did you chat to him?
Yeah, he picked up very, very early. It was just the timing couldn't be worse. So he was still running and pretty much pain free and humming and hawing for a lot of it. And I won't speak on his behalf, but he's got some pretty exciting racing coming up. And given he's like an established, very established athlete, achieved a lot already. Yeah, he's going to prioritize a few other things, so he should actually be back pretty damn soon. But it was pretty cool. He played a bit more of a mentor role. He could have left, like once the call was made, he could have gone home. He was an ambassador of a Port Douglas event. He could have gone up there. He actually kind of opted to stay, and we even could see the change in his behavior. Like he got up at 6:30, came to our training session of just me and Boots, held our bottles out, and was pretty much took up full mentoring role and sat us down, called us the night before the race, had a bit of a chat, and yeah, it was pretty special.
Yeah, so how's his mindset been? Is he sort of one that can move on quickly and look ahead at the bigger picture?
I think so. He's one of the most like positive, confident, and motivated individuals I've met. So even while like getting the diagnosis within like I'd say a day or so, day or two, like sure he's bummed, but he's already cool. What do I need to do to recover? What's next? It's almost like the process just shifts. And it's a bit, of course, it's unfortunate, but it's almost like imagine railway tracks and it's just shifted. And he's like, cool, this is a new path. Can't change it. What can I do?
Yeah, 100%. Well, let's move into to your race. It was Monday morning, so for an Australian who works full time like me, at 7:30 when I think it started, it was quite actually difficult to watch. From a Brisbane point of view, but from your point of view in the race, like, what was your plan there? And particularly training with Liam, like, you'd raced a fair bit of that race with him. Was that the plan?
We told each other like our individual plans before the race, but there was no like agreement to be like, we must stay together. We're going to stay together. That's just how it worked out. So our range that we both were hoping to be in were about 315 to 318. We were basically last after a kilometer in 312. So it was kind of just, we were too, too quick for the average. We knew it was a bit downhill and on the track. And then a group kind of formed there. So I had a bit of a look behind. There was a group going rapidly up the road that, we both wanted to be with, but knew probably shouldn't. So in essence, it's just like that's the group. The group was running this speed. Stay with the group.
Yeah, so mate, in 44th, but this race, so 66 actually finished. I'm not sure if you know that, but what's the experience like in a race like this compared to, say, a Gold Coast where there's just so many people? Like, does it matter to you? Does it change your mindset? Obviously, it's the World Athletics Champs that changes things, but how about the sheer number of people?
It felt, for me, it felt busier, which was really cool. So even though the total number of people is like
Yeah.
100 times less in terms of the congestion that we experience, in the race, like the packs were just bigger, more people around, which was really, really exciting. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed that. You didn't have to take a turn if you didn't want to, like we opted to on our group, but there were just packs of 10 everywhere, which was, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, and what was your intake of water like? Like in this event, with it being a bit hotter, like do you measure that in any way or prepare to sort of hit a marker based on the conditions?
Never did a sweat test. All I did, I love how like unprofessional to a sense this is, like none of us had done sweat tests, none of us knew how much to consume, so we had our normal, like I just had my Frankfurt regime, I guess, of carbs, and then I just tried to take some cups of water from the side of the road. My philosophy was if I could take it down, like if my guts felt good, I'd take it. And then I got to a point where, don't feel good and you're kind of battling the gut and dehydration. So it was just a fine line around that. But generally speaking, if I saw a cup and I could have a cup, I'd have it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And for nutrition, what are you taking there, mate, for a 2-hour 20 marathon? What's been
I'm
put
with
you in?
a startup company from Sydney called Sub 3. So I use their pre-run and post-run formula at the moment, and it's been, yeah, very beneficial. I love it. I love the taste as well. It's actually not too heavy. So yeah, that's what I've been rolling.
The overall feel from the event, like what was the feedback from family after, catching them and friends after running the event?
They seemed to enjoy the experience. Like it was pretty special. They said being in the stadium, they all had t-shirts with my name on them, which was pretty funny. And they had a group of Japanese people in the crowd that almost commandeered as part of the entourage. So they said the vibe even within the stadium was very supporting and welcoming for every athlete. And I think generally just proud, which was really exciting. And it was very special to have them there.
And who do you have out there?
I had mum, dad, my older sister, her partner, my partner, my partner's family, and Liam's brother's partner, Liam's partner. So we're all kind of pretty close, and I'd say an entourage of about 12.
Yeah, okay. And does World Athletics help financially to get family there to support athletes?
I don't believe so. So that's why it was so special, is like we've had all those people,
Yeah.
pay their own way there and commit to time off work. And
100%.
yeah, it's a very big commitment. Like, for example, even I know it's so simple, but make t-shirts and yeah, it was very special. And a lot of people do have to, or opted to give up a lot just to be there and see that.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So, mate, moving forward, what's the train looking like now? 6x1K this morning, but we're just after 2 weeks after the event. What's the next few weeks look like and any races lined up?
I do have one possibly next week, which I'm unsure about. We'll see. So thinking about a half in Perth potentially, but yeah, we'll make the call probably as late as early next week. I definitely know I'm doing World Cross Trials late November, and then I think 2 weeks after that is Zatopek 10, which I think is always good for me
True.
to
Yep.
try and get on the track. And on that same philosophy, I'll probably actually jump in a few Queensland races, like our 5,000 champs maybe, and even
Yes.
some Saturday 3Ks. Like I'm actually really a big fan of just getting on for a 3K, and
Yeah.
it's not my forte, and that's why I need to do it.
Were you in that 5K last year? Was that the one with Charlie Moore?
Yeah, I paced that.
Yes, he
That
won
was
it, didn't
such
he,
a good
Charlie?
run from Charlie.
Yes. Yeah, sub 14, wasn't it? But that
Yeah.
must have been the quickest 5K ever for the 5K champs. It was so deep. There was like 10 athletes under what, 14:40?
It's the quickest one I'm familiar with of the last
Yeah.
probably 10 years. Yeah, at a state champs.
Yeah, so shout out for the event, particularly those who are under that, sub 15 mark to get it into that, but also the slower ones too. Like they've had up to 4 or 5 heats in this event before. So Queensland Athletics event, sign up for a club and get involved. And this Perth half marathon, when is that?
I think it's next Sunday morning.
Next Sunday morning.
But yeah, it's a bit of a tight line with the body, so we'll kind of just,
Yeah.
yeah, see how we go.
Yeah. So if we let's do two scenarios. So you're not racing Perth or you're racing Perth. What does training look like for the next 2 weeks?
It actually doesn't change, which is great. So we're not going to push me, if that makes sense. Like
Yeah.
I'm either ready or I'm not. So this morning went all right. It shows like, not quite there yet, but that's as expected. Am I injury free? Yes. So we probably push a little harder next Tuesday. This Friday, I'll probably do some longer thresholdy type work. And then we'll probably make a call next Tuesday. The expectation is not to run quick, it's just to race, get amongst it. And yeah, I'm actually keen to see New City of Australia because I've never been to Perth or just to transit through for Albany cross country.
Well, I'm very flat over there, mate. So I'm
Is
sure
it?
that race in general is flat. I don't know about the race, but I assume it's reasonably flat. But is your view that that marathon or the marathon is like one large training session that just allows the body to absorb that fitness, as opposed to I just find people rush training, getting back into to races too quickly?
You're very right. I completely agree, but there's also a way in which, like, if this is done well and you don't fully commit yourself to like the absolute well, then sometimes you can use some of these races as a bit of a hard effort, if that makes sense. I'm also planning to not pick up training after that race. So it's almost like just get back on the horse for one day and then drop back down again for another few weeks.
Okay.
So the general, I guess, gist of where I'm at in a training cycle is hopefully pretty low and then building back up towards November. But even then, I'd like to be probably PB ready for February.
Yeah, and speaking of February, what's on the cards for next year?
Still going to get into races, but in an ideal world, if I just get to choose it, I'd love to get back to Marugame. And then possibly, I don't have any dates or anything for this, but ASICS typically have done some events and things overseas for their athletes. So I'd love to be a part of that next year. And then potentially, I've always wanted to get back to Roma Ostia, which is, I did a few years back, a half marathon, starting in Rome, running out to the coast. So that's all my bucket list. I don't know about an April marathon, but don't have to make that call yet, but that's also on the mind.
Do you go into the year though with the marathon mindset? Is that how the training looks initially, at least?
Well, I've still got to meet with Jacko, so that's the tricky thing, and we'll chat about all this stuff. I like to know pretty early, so I don't tend to just like spring a marathon on myself. So if I'm running an April marathon, I'll know by December, and I'll like kind of gear my training towards that. But yeah, the other idea I've had as well is potentially like I'd love to run another marathon in Australia, whether it be Ballarat or Brisbane. I know Sydney's a bit later, in September, but it could be cool to do an April to June marathon in Australia.
Yeah, so with that in mind, do you have any like view on the training through summer, like to lessen the mileage and do some faster work in those shorter races, or do you like to just maintain a certain sort of range like year in, year out?
Great question, because touch wood, I'm usually injury free, but this time or in a few months, coming up to a year, I picked up a sacral stress fracture last year, which was my first, I'd say, major injury. A lot of that I put down to the heat, not recovering, and just working myself into the ground with training before Christmas and just lifestyle. So that's a big one for me this year. Like, I probably will look to drop load if I need to. But definitely be a bit more conservative in training. So it might look like shorter, more intense reps, and probably a few less kilometers in the week. Might even look to cross train a bit, not sure. But I'll be very aware and going crazy on the food.
And what sort of range? We're talking close to 150K?
Probably a bit
Like,
more, like 160, even creeping up to 180. In that range, I just leave it to feel. So if it's in that range, I'm generally pretty happy. And if I tend to gauge it on like how I feel when I wake up, if I'm feeling tired pretty continuously, I probably just need to pull back a bit.
yeah. And then when are you guys doing your sessions through the week? Like, how does that flow work?
This is really interesting because I'm in a period at the moment where this is all got to chat about this stuff to Jacko. So this part of our year is a bit of downtime in that sense. So we might even move to fortnightly cycles of like three sessions 1 week to the next. That works well for me with my work setup at the moment. Otherwise, I do enjoy Tuesday, Friday. I know he's a fan of Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, which could also work. And one of those sessions is a bit lighter, but also one's very intense. So they're
Yeah, I was
both
going to ask.
things. I think the meat in the middle, which we'll chat about, is 1 week that way, the three workouts, and 1 week the two. And that way you kind of can do the bigger Friday on that alternating week and you kind of stay well rounded.
Yeah, I don't mind that. What do you, so for the three sessions a week, how do you do that to not overdo it? Like how long of a volume and intensity are each of those runs? How does that work?
So the model that we'd use at Gold Coast Run Co would be a fartlek on a Tuesday, typically in the spit, or a trail or some sort of undulating hills that's not on a hard surface. It'd be 20 to 30 minutes of total volume at various intervals. Thursday is usually like threshold and hills, maybe some track and threshold, but generally I kind of call it a half session. So the volume would be less, intensity's kind of, if you've got it, you can definitely give it. But generally I find the way he coaches as well, it's your day that you pull back if you need to. Saturday's usually track or 8x K or something, and quite hard and tough, and no second option. Like that's the money day of the week.
Okay. Maybe a bit of a side question here, away from our little bit gender we've got going here. Footwear, mate, so dynamic right now, isn't it? Like all the brands have their super shoes, and I can't keep up. And you get all these like the Instagram posts which try and explain each of the shoes, and there's like tier systems and pyramids, and some you agree with, some you don't agree with, you know, as a runner. What's on your feet for various runs at the moment?
Great question. So I'm my jogging shoe at the moment is a Nimbus and I'm loving it. It is so,
The
I'd
ASICS
say
gel Nimbus. I
like
love that.
plush and soft, the 27. So I've really found a love for that shoe. I'm doubling in, I think, the Nova Blasts at the moment. That or a Glide Ride. Andy put me onto the Glide Ride Maxes, which is a bit of a niche shoe. I didn't know about it until, because I saw them on Andy's feet and I'm like, what's this? I tried them on back in July. So I'm actually now in that for my doubles. Nova Blasts kind of then get thrown to warm up, cool down sessions. I'm in the Paris version of the Sky or Edge, usually the Edge. And then some of my marathon workouts, I'm in the Tokyo version of the Sky or Edge. And then long runs, a Super Blast. I've now got the Mega Blast, which is honestly an insane shoe. So I think that's going to take over some of the kilometers from my Super Blast as well.
How
And I
does that
know we've.
differ to the Super Blast? I'm not an ASICS guy.
No, that's all right. It's just, I actually couldn't tell you in terms of specs. It feels lighter, more plush, and more propulsive. So definitely not as firm. Maybe like imagine a Nimbus with more bounce and lighter
Yeah,
weight.
okay. Better for a long run then? If
I
you can
think
pick
so.
up speed a bit?
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty much come about with their new foam. So I think there's, oh, don't quote me. I think there's some Leap foam in there, like the new stuff. But yeah, these new Ranger shoes with the Sonic Blast as well. So they're all coming out with the, yeah, lighter, more rebound, more efficient, more energy return in the foam.
Excellent, mate. Hey, let's get to this podcast quickly before we finish. The Journeyman podcast, that is. It seemed you guys an episode last night. Is that correct? Where you surely reflected a bit on the world champs, or maybe last week. I hadn't noticed. But how's it going? How many episodes are you into now, and what's the plans moving forward?
I think we're at 61 and they go by pretty quick when we do them weekly. I enjoy like the process of it because I actually don't see much of Jordo and Kaz because I've been so based in Brisbane and abroad this year. So it's great to actually catch up and it turns into that most weeks.
Yeah, they're working together, aren't they? Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's all right. In terms of vision, I don't know. We're all so relaxed. We actually kind of just like let things go with the flow and we both all really enjoy engaging with, like, not that we have many followers on
I was going to
Instagram or
ask, do you
anything.
follow? Do you follow how many or who follows? It's
I,
always
to be
interesting
honest, I've got
who
no idea.
follows.
And that's the beauty of this stuff. So I don't check. I don't know. I just get up, pull the microphone up, And when people engage with it, it's all really like in person or through like Kaz and Jordo's reports. It's all really positive, and we appreciate the feedback. So that's probably the warmest part from our side, is like when you get those moments where, like the 5K champs last year, we had a few people come up, or I got stopped on the street in Tokyo and met someone who listens to the podcast. Those interactions are really quite cool, because you feel like you're, I don't know, if someone's listening to it, you could go, cool, that might put a smile on someone's face, but we're just kind of catching up for the week.
And it seems like Jordo's getting back into his running as well. He's getting fit.
Oh, he was. I think he's strained his calf. So he's actually
Oh.
like cross training at the moment, which, to be fair, to get Jordo cross training, I think that's a win. It's a dangerous time of year when the weather starts to look good and the beers probably get a bit colder. So he's doing well to do the tough training. I'm still at him. I reckon he'd love an overseas marathon because he's never run one. Our Aussie marathons are great, but as we all know, the fastest times are probably abroad.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want him to experience. And I think that would really spark his love for the marathon and travel.
And mate, surely you've trained and raced. Well, you have with Louis McAfee with the new podcast, The Has-Beens. There's four of them
Yes.
on there now. Listen to that yet?
There's Did they do an interview with, was it Paddy Tiernan?
Pat Tiernan on recently. I haven't
I really
listened,
want to
but
listen to that. I've
yeah.
listened to their first few
He's a
episodes
rare
and
podcaster.
yeah, it got me through a few grim runs on my marathon block where it was 7 p.m. at night and I was alone and I was like, oh, this will be good. I don't see much of those boys anymore. So it almost felt like I was catching up with them. So I'm enjoying listening to that one as well.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to spark any actual returns. Louis looks like he's trained the hardest out of those guys.
He's actually getting pretty fit. The thing with Louis this year is, and he'll have a laugh about this, he's probably gotten fit 3 times. He's had a busy year with his wedding and new job and new dog now. So he kind of has these ups and downs, getting sick a bit with students at school. So I reckon it's the third time he's fit, and I'm hoping he can really kick on this time.
Mate, if he has any kids anytime soon, he's going to have another challenge. So hopefully he rips in now. But mate, thanks for your time today. It's great to chat about the world champs, and yeah, looking forward to seeing how next year unfolds, whether it's the marathon or even down to a 3K QA event. We'll see how it all goes.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And thanks very much for having me on. Always a pleasure. And yeah, thanks and chat again soon.
Awesome, mate. I might see you at 5K champs. Definitely not in that A event, but I'll be out at the event, hopefully running. And yeah, good luck for that event and that maybe that Perth one too.
Likewise, and catch up soon.
Cheers. Thanks, Tim. Are you looking for a little bit more guidance and coaching for 2025 and 26? Touch base on the Local Legend in Running Instagram page, and happy to talk further to you. I coach a number of athletes on their way to races such as 10K, half marathons, and marathon events.
Welcome.